There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee. Peace be still in all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Feasting on the riches of his grace, resting neath the sheltering wing. I'm always looking on his smiling face, and that is why I shout and sing about Jesus, Jesus. Sing it with me. Jesus, sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. In my heart there rings a melody. Ah, there rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody. I know there rings a melody of love. Now I have a song that Jesus gave me. It was sent from heaven above. And there never was a sweeter melody, or his melody of love. In my heart there rings a melody. I know rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody. Well, there rings a melody of love. Well, now soon he's coming back to welcome me far beyond the starry sky. And I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown. I shall reign with him on high. Jesus, Jesus. Oh, you sound good. Fills. Keeps me singing that. Sing it again. Oh, Jesus. Sweetest name I know. He fills my. Keeps me singing as I
call. How many of you, when you're singing with him at the end, you have to take a breath in the middle and then finish the... Okay, yeah, I do too. Or two, yeah, or two. good morning. It is good to see you. I have some great news. You want to hear some great news? Great good news. Not as good as Jesus Christ came to die for our sins and we can live in his kingdom here on earth. Not as good as that, but I do have some good news. Yesterday, we had, including the kids and the children, we had between 260 and 270 people on campus last night. And that paired with, we had a couple of hundred, not including the children in the nursery, on Sunday night. We have had great attendance this year. Thank you, thank you. It goes to the names that we brought in to be the evangelists, the names up here on the board. They came to see Jay Frazier and Doug Carter. No, they came to see Jesus Christ. And you know what we gave them? Or he gave? He gave Jesus Christ last night. We met him, and it was just amazing to see those that died here at the altar and got up living better than ever before. Amen? All right, some more good news. I got a text this morning, right about the time, right before Doug Carter started praying to end the Bible study. I got a text that someone had texted Susan that the rest of the youth shares are taken care of. We have 100 youth shares for this year. We have finished our goal. Someone said, I don't want Wayne to say it anymore. Let's just finish it. I'll finish. I'll pick up the other 11 youth shares. And so we have met our goal. But we can still exceed our goal. Let's keep going. Our offering I announced yesterday was somewhere around $52,000. Well, our offering as of today, counting last night, is $50,000. You're like, what? There was an error. We included some missionary money accidentally in the total last night. So we are at about $51,000 now. So we have a few more meetings. We have a few more times to pass the plate. And we're trying to get our annual. What in the world is that? That is a pterodactyl. I don't know what. Y'all make them bigger down here, don't you? Dr. Carter, during the Bible study, underneath the pew right here came a huge silver dollar sized spider, came right up to the altar, put its two legs on top of the altar just like that and stayed frozen until you ended. We do. Religious animals, religious insects. Micah, did you get it? Hey, it's gone. That's it. Thank you, Micah. Now if his hand swells up by lunchtime. All right, so some good news there with the offering and with our numbers. Thank y'all so much. This has been a fabulous year of spending time with Jesus and spreading the word and getting more people involved. It's not about the numbers, folks. It's about the souls that come in and hear the news of victory, of holiness, of hope. And I think that was accomplished yesterday. Dr. Carter announced Frost Bridge Camp Meeting, which is July 18th through the 27th. And if you're interested, there are some brochures that'll be out down here at the table. Also, today is Asbury Day. How many of you are Asbury alum or Asbury students or planning on going to Asbury? Great. Today is Asbury Day. Today at 6 o'clock. We'll have the reception. It'll be at the President's Cottage right up this way, right by the gate, out this way. And Bert Jones, will you stand and let us acknowledge you from, he is the Director of Alumni Relations at Asbury, the brand new director. How many days on the job? 7 days on the job. And his first assignment is right here. I told him it couldn't be a better first assignment than Taylor County Camp. Welcome, and looking forward to building relationship with you and as you work with our alum from Asbury. Also, during the Bible study, the Michelle Khalil family came in. I tried to say Khalil first, but Michelle came out first. The Khalil family came in during Bible study. Let's welcome them to Taylor County. Such an influential family here at camp. Tonight, there's nachos. You like nachos? Tonight, after the service, we'll be serving nachos up in the cafeteria. So make sure you join us for that fellowship. Let's all stand, and we'll go to the Lord in prayer to pray for this morning's service. Dr. Carter started his Bible study off with the Holy Spirit, and I think you're going to find that a very interesting topic as we go into our worship time together. Let's pray. Father God, we know that we are your temple, And if we are a follower of you, then we are indwelled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And so as members of your church gather, they bring the Holy Spirit with them. And as we gather together in this room that is full of followers, the power of the Holy Spirit is here this morning. And I just pray that as we acknowledge you, as we worship you through our song today, that your Holy Spirit will move among us and in us. We love you and we praise you. In your Son's powerful name we pray. Amen.
Remain standing if you would, please. We could do a lot of things here, but without the Holy Spirit, it would be in vain. I was hoping for one amen. But we have the Holy Spirit with us this week. I've enjoyed it, His presence. Let's sing about it right now, okay?
Oh, spread the tidings round wherever man is found, wherever human hearts and human souls abound. Let every Christian tongue proclaim the joyful sound. The
Oh, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Please be seated.
Let's have the ushers come forward for this morning's offering. Yes, we're pushing forward still on the budget, trying to get our annual budget met. It is 72, something like that. And we're at about 51, 52, so let's keep pushing in. A couple of areas that are still other areas to give. If you look in front of you, you'll see a WGM envelope. It is never too late to pick that up and to elect to partner with the Strongs and with the Donahues on a monthly basis. You can do so on that WGM envelope there. And also the Potter's House, you can go to their table, purchase their stuff, or click their QR code, and you can donate to them that way too. But let's keep giving to the Potter's House as well. Melvin, Brother Melvin, will you pray for the offering this morning?
How can I say thanks for the things you have done for me? Things so undeserved, yet you give to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude for all that I am and ever hope to be. I owe it all to thee. To God be the glory, to God. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, opening to the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars and I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Sing it, church. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. Then sings my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou art.
Following that, I feel like indigestion after lunch. And I'm the indigestion, and Brian is the lunch. Wow, what a song. A melody. Songs. If you have a copy of God's Word, we're going to be in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27, a little bit. I said at the outset of camp, Brother Doug said, I think when we conferred weeks before this, and I don't want to be the, I don't even know if I've said it this way, of whether I was even going to come or not. Brother Doug's prophetic words were, I think you have a message to tell. But I think there's another thing going on here. I think the familiarity of Taylor County, which we lived here for 22 years. All three of my children were born when we were living here, half raised and three-quarter raised here. I don't know if I can get this out, but when Brian was sharing, this thought crossed my mind that in the sovereignty of God, God knew. He knew. I'm not through processing that yet. But God knew the things that were going to happen. I'm not to the point yet in my own therapy to say allow or ordained or I don't know all the ins and outs. That's the biggest question I ask is why these things. And it's not why because I'm mad at God. It's not why because I even want it to be different. It's why because I don't want to miss what God wants to do. And I don't want that to be flippant. I don't want that to be superficial. That's from the depths of my soul to tell you that. But God is accomplishing that. I don't know what that looks like. I'd actually played it in my mind as after Taylor County Camp, Suzanne and I would sit down and see if we need another sabbatical. I know people think that's strange. My church in Mississippi is much like my church when I was here. Very loving, caring. The health of the pastor matters. I had one of the stalwarts of the church here told me years ago when I was just 25, 26 years old that the best thing I could do as the pastor of Bethel Church is have a good family. And I've always remembered that and revered that, and it on goes. So, but God is up to something. It's been very unique. I've appreciated, you know, all that's gone on. I have, and so I don't know. I don't know. One of the things I've said for weeks is I don't have anything to tell anybody. And people would almost laugh at that, but I still say that. The thought of somebody coming to me as a pastor and wanting advice or we're going to talk about something, I'd probably miss that appointment even now. My staff knows that, where I am. They filled in. I just hired him. He had retired from IT. He was also a pastor for decades. I hired him as a part-time pastor of discipleship, and he's really stepped up in a lot of those ways and others that have been on staff with me for years. But so I'm walking through that. And if that didn't make sense, I apologize. But it's where we are. And so today I want to tell you that this is sort of different for me too. Brian, it's almost like I don't even know if we need an altar call today. And maybe it'll be the best altar call we've had all time because I don't see where I'm going to land the plane. But I want to share today about the blood. I told Brother Doug this at breakfast. I got up this morning asking the Lord, and I thought I had a direction, and so I've been sort of seeking the Lord daily. There's been two or three changes since we've been here of what I thought we would do, so I feel like the Lord is very real and evident, and the Spirit of God is. But this morning I woke up and was just thinking about some things. All during the night I woke up, and I said, Lord, what do you want for today? I don't want to miss. God knew before the foundations of the world that you would be here today. And I don't want it to be a J show and we miss what God wants to do for you. So I asked the Lord every time I awakened. There was a good bit. My air conditioner worked so well, I thought I was like in Alaska somewhere. I mean, I thought, God, I'm going to freeze. They're going to find me here in some kind of state in the morning. But I thank the Lord over that. But anyway, please don't go turn it up because mine won't go down, okay? So just leave it alone. Don't go do your Christian service. It needs to stay away, so I'll cover up, I promise. But in the middle of all that asking the Lord, this morning when I got up, the blood just came to mind, and I started looking at stuff. And before long, this is going to sound crazy. I know I'm very weepy anyway. I've already had that conversation with somebody today, is that I was just weeping. And then the first song of your melody was talked about the blood. And so just confirmation that God went to great lengths. And it's all the way back in the Old Testament, but it's New Testament, and it's today. You know what our hope is? When Jesus sees me, when God sees me, he sees the blood. Let me tell you this. If the blood hasn't been applied, then you're lost. That's that saying, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. That's our hope. And I want to unpackage some of that today. But I've been so just low and down and out. I want to tell you one story. Can I tell you one story? And it's gonna get into lunch. I'm sorry. But, I mean, Brother Wayne, he got 18 announcements, and Brian sings all kind of songs, and then the preacher gets blamed, Brother Doug, if we get into lunchtime. Is that not the truth? They preach it. Thank you. They hand it to us, and then, you know, well, the kids have already eaten. I love that one that Wayne says. The kids have already been served because those long-winded preachers. So I got to tell you the short version. I got several. Several have asked me to tell the squirrel head story. I don't have enough time to tell it. I might tell it. See, I just have the morning, so now we can be sort of laid back. I might tell that tomorrow. Tracy Pounds has asked me to sing. I might have to do that, Brian. After you do that, Tracy, I don't want to sing. I just want to tell you the truth, okay? You understand? So, but anyway, gets up here and sings another language yesterday, like the unknown tongue or something. But anyway, let me tell you what happened to me. I thought about Brother Doug. Brother Doug's airplane story is a lot better than mine. He went from 30,000 feet to about 7 or 8 or whatever he said, and a big hole in the side of the plane. And he talks about the peace he had. I did leadership training with Equip, one of my dear things. And the church, Bethel Church, paid the way, paid for the materials, sent us on our way. And so they get the reward for that too. But one of the neat things, I went to Guayaquil, Ecuador 6 times. Well, I came up. I was going to be a pastor. I was not going to slight my church and all that. So many of the times it would be over on Saturday afternoon. So 3 or 4 of the 6 trips, I was actually back at the pulpit on Sunday morning. I'd fly and get in like at 1 or 2 in the morning, and then we'd do church the next day. But one particular time, I found out that the airport was going to be closed on the weekend down there. And so to get home, I couldn't go, like, they wouldn't fly international flights in. The only way I could get home was to fly from Guayaquil, Ecuador to Bogota, Colombia. And just for you that are all concerned about your pastor at that time, and I made sure I didn't have any of my normal paraphernalia on me where I'd get hooked up in Colombia and not be able to get home, you know, as they always tell the stories about Colombia. So I fly, and this is the first part of the story I'll tell you. If you can't pronounce the airline, you don't need to get on it. That's what I first would say. It was one of those airlines down there. I couldn't pronounce the name. Brian probably could with all of his, you know. So I said, I fly on this plane, and so we leave Guayaquil, Ecuador, and we're flying into Bogota, Colombia. Then I was going to get on an American airline and fly from Bogota, Colombia to Atlanta. So it was all going to work out. Susan had me all set up. It was great. I get on this plane. I am by sure the minority on several reasons. Mainly language. I might be the only English-speaking person on there. You know when they come on and they speak in Spanish and then they come back and speak in American, in English, you know that you're the minority, all right? You know what I'm talking about if you've ever been on those kind of flights. Well, flight went well. I'm sitting in the very back. We get ready to land. And I'll tell you this, if you ever flown on an airplane, do you know right when they've already put the wheels down, it's looking, and you're so close to the runway that you can see the property line. You know what I'm talking about? If you've ever flown, you know, you're all the way on the ground. I'm talking maybe 200 or 300 feet from landing. And that's where we were. I was ready, you know, we were fixing to land. I'm worried about being in another country, getting on another airline. But I'm thinking about this kind of thing. And all of a sudden, he shoots it to it. Now, we're floating down, and all of a sudden, he pours it to it. And as you look up the look up the middle aisle of that plane, the plane starts doing like this. And this is the thought I had. I'm going to be on CNN. I didn't have this peace Brother Doug talks about. I didn't. This plane started shaking. I mean, it's all he can do to keep it in the air. It's shaking and moving all around. And finally, he banks. And when he banks, I look out the window, and there is a jet sideways in the middle of the runway that, just like a traffic light, has pulled out in front of our airplane. And I'm thinking, man. And so it's all he could do. And I'm telling you, it shook to the minute. I thought it was fixing to come apart. I really had a thought that this is it. I mean, I always have the lighter side of things, but I really thought this is it. That plane, there was nothing about it that felt like it was going to stay in the air. It was nothing. And so this went on for a little while. Well, true story. I'm the maybe one or two or three on there that speak English. Maybe there's some bilingual folks, but most of them spoke Spanish. Sort of sounded like Brian singing. Had no idea what he was singing. But all of a sudden, in that moment, there were just dozens and dozens of people calling on whatever God they served. I mean, prayers going up, okay? Now, I've told this story far and wide, and the last time I told it was in a public setting. It wasn't this little sweet, you know, conservative arena. It was I won't even tell you what meeting it was, but there were a lot of different people there, and I didn't think through this situation. It was not your, you know, holiness camp meeting. It was not pretty much everybody in the room's conservative or everybody's in the room is Protestant, okay? The predominant religion in most South America, Central American countries is Catholic, Catholicism. Listen, I saw it going on, guys. I saw it was like 10 or 15, maybe 30 seconds of this that I thought the plane's fixing to come apart. I heard prayers in Spanish going up. When I looked around and looked, everybody in that plane, and there was a lady got offended. And listen, if you have Catholicism in your background, I deal with it a lot now in Mississippi. I didn't deal with it much in Georgia when I pastored here. I'm not saying this as an offense. I'm saying this for a laugh, okay? But it's the truth. There were people doing this. I'm talking about fast as you've ever seen. I'm talking about people with their hands. It was like milliseconds. And they had the same thought I had. We're fixing to be on CNN. That's what they were doing. You know what happened? I just wanted to, I was all the way in the back. I was like the next to the last row. I'm Protestant through and through. You hear me? Anybody in the room? Brother Jay, I don't even understand what you're talking about. Well, go study it, all right? I'm Protestant through and through. But there is a twinge of me. It's sort of like what I believe and what I read in the Word. There are some things that sort of I go, that doesn't sort of line up with Congregational Methodism. And so I know the kingdom from time to time is bigger even than I might think it is. Amen? You don't have to amen. That's okay. I'll move on. But I'm Protestant through and through. But, you know, I don't know how to tell you this, but you want to hedge your bets as much as you can. Everybody with me? You following where I am? I mean, I'm Protestant through and through, Brother Doug. I am. But all around me was Catholicism. And they looked like they had some peace in what they were doing. And I didn't think God would mind. I'm on the back of the plane thinking I'm fixed to be on CNN and see Jesus. And real quick, like I just did a couple, real quick. Like, so I wish that was a preacher's story. Hey, when you're scared of dying, you'll do anything. You want to cover that? Well, maybe us Protestants, maybe we don't have it as true as we think we do. I want to hedge my bet a little bit. I will tell you this, and then we'll move on, I promise. Did you know when COVID hit, I think I had 7 full-time staff people. I remember thinking, I might have to let 2 or 3 go. That was one of the first thoughts I had in a leadership way. I thought, man, our budget is this, and if it goes down by a third or if it goes down by a fourth, I could see where we're just going to have to tighten up. And tighten up means, I remember telling folks, we got to get with it. We got to make sure we hold people together, because I said, I'm not the first one leaving. Y'all with me? It's a true story. My staff could tell you, I told them that on a regular basis. But you know what I found out? I could tell you right now, my financial folks, I don't know who gives what, but I know the sum total. Did you know when COVID hit that next year, I think it was 7 or 8 months of giving were higher for that month than in the history of the church that's 80-something years old, or 60-something years old. You know what I think happened? I have an opinion to that. You know what I think? We thought we were all going to die. We thought we were one kiss and one hug from death. I'm being serious. You know what I think happened in the church? We didn't want to meet God with God's money in our pocket. I mean, we had to analyze this. Why did giving? You would have thought giving would have went down. People weren't working. We saw it was like 2/3 of the months. My treasurer would say, hey, I want to tell you, I went back and looked. As far as I can go back in the history of the church, that's the biggest April we've ever had. And then I'd hear another, that's the biggest July of giving we ever had in the history of the church. And you're going, if there was ever a time people were going to tighten their pocketbooks, it was then because of the fear of the unknown. I think it was like that plane I was on. I think, man, if you knew today, what would you do? The last few weeks, that's been a thought on my mind. I have a whole nother appreciation of death. I'll be 60 in October. I know I'm closer to that day than I am my first day. So today I want to talk to you about the blood. We've had a good time, and I'll try to go as fast as I can, and that don't mean much. I'll just tell you that. Matthew chapter 27. We're going to begin the reading, verse number 15. If you're able, would you stand and honor God's word? I'll probably get emotional just reading this passage because of the way it happened today already. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to releasing for the people anyone prisoner whom they wanted. At that time, they were holding a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when the people gathered together, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew that because of envy, they had handed him over. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent him a message saying, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for last night I suffered greatly in a dream because of him." Now, you know, this is not what I came to tell you today, but it is amazing. Just think through this. Isn't it amazing that even in this story, God provides redemption and enlightenment to who you're dealing with? Isn't it amazing that even for Pilate, God offered. He rejected it, of course. He goes on. The chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to put Jesus to death. Verse 21, but the governor said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said, "Crucify him." And he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they kept shouting all the more, saying, "Crucify him." When Pilate saw that he was accomplishing nothing, but rather that a riot was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's," what? "Blood. See to that yourselves." And listen to this now. And all the people said, "His blood shall be on us and our children." Lord, would you use us today? And God, we'll be careful to give you the praise. Lord, I pray for one. As we've already said, today's more about enlightenment and understanding the depth that you went to redeem us. That without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. God, I pray today, if there be one that's not under the blood, if there's something that's not under the blood, if there's work to be done, I pray for freedom in the house of the Lord. But most of all, God, that you would use us to enlighten us, refresh our memory, God, of the depth you went to redeem us. God, we'll be careful to give you the praise, for we ask it and pray it in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen, amen. You may be seated. Right now, I have a favorite song that I'm listening to. I've really been taken by Charity Gayle. Just hadn't been on the scene that many years. I have a song, I Believe, that has impacted, as a story I told you about God asking me to believe him. In the state that we're in. But she also sings another song, says, "Thank you, Jesus, for the blood." If you've not listened to that, it will do something for you. Did you know the physical body has 1.3, or an adult male, I should say, has 1.32 gallons of blood within the body? In America, every 2 seconds, someone is in need of blood. It came out of this. The church had done it sometimes, but we actually, and some people would struggle with this being on a Sunday, but we actually 3 to 4 times a year have a blood drive in front of our church. And it comes out of that we've heard stories about people needing, and I've always said it's a great simple way, if you're able to, just to love on others and to serve others, and you'll never meet them. But it's amazing. A lot of the other things I'll share with you, but I'll move on from that. There's a lot of unique things. Suzanne has a double first cousin that's in heaven today. He ended up having cancer later in years, but I remember like yesterday, some in the church might remember this, right after Suzanne and I got married. She left. She dropped out of Southwestern College for one quarter and went to be with family. Aplasmosis anemia, if I can pronounce it correctly, was the blood disease that he had. And basically, in a nutshell, in layman's term, he wasn't making any more blood. And his name's Danny. Danny's in heaven. I'll see him one day. I got a feeling Mallory's already seen him. He was crazy as I am. Great guy. Great family. But Danny, I can remember seeing this and hearing stories. Suzanne would say when she went out, they were giving platelets and blood every chance they could because they were all double first cousins. There were several of them that could give, that they had the same blood type. And it even worked better with that kind of close kin thing. But Danny would lay on the bed, and they said it was just like clockwork. And I don't remember the time frame, but when they would give him a transfusion, they would give him a pint of blood, they'd give him a unit of blood, Danny could get up and walk around his room. And he was just like you and me. They said you could almost see it within that framework when he got down to the last few minutes of that transfusion because he wasn't making any blood himself. Once he started working through the end of it, if they weren't ready to give him some more, they said it was just like you could just see him fading. And he'd have to get back in the bed, and then all of a sudden he was lifeless again. And it was an ongoing process. The only life that he had was when they gave him that transfusion of blood. Danny Burrell's his name. And great memories I have with him. But I remember how God used that for me. We need to understand that in the spiritual life. We think we're going to accomplish something without the blood of Christ. It's never going to happen. You know, when God sees us, he better see the blood. I've told people, God only has one color. We struggle in our world with race and all type of culture, ethnic groups. God's only got one color, folks. And it's red. It's red. It was in the Old Testament. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. It was about the blood then. And all that was a sign, Brother Doug. You said it a few days ago in Bible study. All that was a sign pointing to the blood of Christ that we put over our door and over our heart. And God atones us. And therefore, that makes us right with God. See, when I stand in front of the Lord, people say, well, Brother Jay, what about this and what about that? No. What I got to first know is the blood has been applied. And the rest of it is like we talked about last night. I want to show you some out of the Word of God. In 1 John 1:7, it says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, watch this, Brother Doug, his son cleanses us from all sin. Well, Brother Jay, you don't know what I did. I don't need to know. God said all. Heard a pastor one time say he had to do a term paper in Bible college. And he worked and worked and he did resources and he decided he was going to do the term paper on all, Brother Doug. And at the end of all of his research, he found out that all means all. Isn't that good? Matthew 26:28 says, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. Hebrews 9:12 says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. Revelation 12:11, and they overcame, we've used this early in the week, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. Wow. And by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life unto the end. The context of the statement, I just want to share some things with you. I want to think about this passage. These folks had no idea what they were saying. Think about that. We want him gone. We want him to crucify him. They see Pilate washing his hands. His blood's not going to be on my hands. And they just freely said, let it be on us. We're fine with that. They had no idea what they were talking about. And yet that's such a parallel today that so many people just flippantly look at what Jesus did. And you say, well, Brother Jay, that's mighty harsh. It's got to be flippant if they don't do anything with it. It's got to be flippant that if we put earthly things and all of our pursuits, or we put it in some category, maybe a teenager here says, oh, wait, Well, preacher, I understand you're telling the truth, but one day I'll do it when I get married and I have kids and I have a job and I got all this done, then I'll do it. But what if that never comes? Don't play with that. Don't devalue the blood even for a period of time. They had no idea. I've come to tell you that the blood is our only hope. Oh, the only hope. The only hope that takes us from the old covenant of trying to keep 613 laws as the Jew is supposed to. Our only hope is the blood transfusion of Jesus Christ into our life that changes. Our only hope. And it also makes us accountable. Wow. There's many times I think about a passage that says we've trodden underfoot. When I don't live out my relationship with the Lord seriously and I take it for granted, and I mention this a lot in our preaching, but we're banking everything on grace, and it's going to be all right because God's grace is bigger. And yes, it is. You and I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for God's grace. But understanding this, the blood is very, very precious. Not only that context, but also just some thoughts. Let me give you some aspects about the blood. First, I want to tell you today, many don't understand this, but the blood frees us. It does. So, Brother Jay, how do I get from somewhere that doesn't bring glory and honor to God to somewhere that does? It happens under the blood. You think about the sacredness. Think about the severity of what Jesus went through. There's a lot out there, and I don't have time to get into this, but they even talk about where Jesus died and the whole atonement. There's a lot of stuff in Israel that's really neat about this. But the blood, I believe every drop, every pin dot of Jesus' blood was captured for the atonement of you and me. The blood changes. 1 John 1:7. Listen to this. It says this. It says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light. Watch this now. And we have fellowship. We already talked about this. This all that we've talked about, the all sin, it changes us. See? It changes us. But then it also separates us. It separates. There's a verse that's found in Exodus chapter 11, verse 7, where it says, I will make a distinction. Because of the blood, I will make a distinction. What did the Passover did? It made a distinction between the ones of Egypt and the ones of Israel. Wow. So we have the confirmation of the blood. It separates who we are. And it also affects my whole life. Can you imagine? Can you imagine, and I'll reference this with the Passover, can you imagine? One man, and this is sort of the guts of it, if you will, for lack of a better word. One person took a brush, killed the animal, put the blood over the post in the lintel of the house. One man might have had six children. Might have had a wife, probably did. Might have had in-laws living in the house with them. One man in the Passover covered the entire house. Now for us, you're not going to get there because of what mom and dad did. You're not going to be covered by what the neighbor did or what the pastor did. But what I want you to see is the parallel that we do not live in a vacuum. When the blood is applied to my life, it has a bearing on other people's lives. I won't say spills over, but I will tell you this. In the book of Corinthians, it says that the believing spouse sanctifies the unbelieving. So I do know that we have an effect on that. So understand that, all right? And then the last is this in this area. And what I want to get to is really the conviction of the blood. I don't know about you. I referred to it a little earlier. This whole thing that we sin willfully, go look that passage up. There remains no more sacrifice. I've had people before in my faith journey, in my pastoral journey, have come and said, that one concerns me. What is that talking about? It's very in-depth. But you and I need to understand that we can't just, of no value, we can't devalue the blood. I would dare say when it comes to our relationship with the Lord, it's the most important thing we got. Because Brother Doug said this morning in the Bible study is that we got to have a starting point to get somewhere. And the starting point is the blood. I want you to get this today. All right? And I told you it's going to be more information for you. It's not going to be a rah-rah. I don't have a story to make you cry at the end. But I do want you to get the basics of this. In the Old Testament again, And I think about passing over, passing away. I think about from this life to the next. When that angel, and you got it's movement here, but when the death angel came, the death angel was not looking for good and moral. The death angel was looking for the blood. Listen to me, church. When we pass away, I think I can establish this for you in the Word of God. When we leave this world, the death angel is not coming for our works. It's not coming for what kind of person we were. That death angel is coming looking for the blood. Looking for the blood. A place that I came to, a place like this, and it doesn't just have to be at an altar, but I came and I received what God had prepared for me. We must understand it. Think about the blood. Why do we have this? It's amazing. First, for purification, our only hope. Secondly, it's for identification. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Wow. And then last, it's for our protection as well. Think about the angel had a job to do in the Passover. And yet it was the blood that protected them. I don't know if you ever thought about that before. See, the angel didn't have to go to every house and look up in the heavens and say, God, Father, this one or not? Now I'm going to get in your kitchen and be real with you because I like to be real, but this is what I want to share with you today about the realness. Can you imagine the day of? Can you imagine a small child or a teen in the house that asked or pondered, why is Daddy painting the door with blood? That had to be gross. I'm a deer hunter. When you're at the skin and rack, it's not the most pleasant smells that you'll ever smell. There had to be that in the real part of it. Sometimes we just treat it like, you know, paint. But there was more to it than that. Can you imagine the little one in the house that was attached and had a relationship and loved the little lamb? And now all of a sudden probably had named him or her. And now all of a sudden the lamb is no longer there. And the parents have had to tell the child what happened to the lamb. That poor little animal didn't do anything. Wow. What about the family that procrastinated? The amount of people. This came about, if you remember, that Pharaoh said, I got to do something because there's more of them than there are of us. They estimate there could have been as many as 2 million Jews. Hebrews. Don't you imagine that there was probably some like us? Don't point. Aren't there some like us that put it off to the last second of the last minute to do something? How about the one that not only procrastinated, but just sort of blew it off, just sort of act like it, nothing to it? Maybe there was even one that got busy and thought it wasn't any big deal and had a lot going on. I'll catch it next time. Until the next morning when all the horrors of horrors began to be seen. What about the skeptic? This is the day we live in. People think today, I used to wonder, wait a second, if Jesus comes back and all the believers leave, everybody will know then. There's enough mess in our media today, it will be some crazy thing that will come up. And listen, we all have phones, and within a month, it will almost be like it didn't even happen in the world that we live in. I got a feeling that there were individuals, there were skeptics, they had put away the water to blood. They had explained away the frogs and the gnats and the flies and the livestock dying. They'd come up with reasons why there were boils and hail and locusts and darkness. They were just natural phenomenons. They happened because of global warming. Did y'all like that one? The reason I'm being almost absurd with you a little bit is I think we're living in that day today. Listen to me carefully, and I'm almost done. We live in a day and age where mankind has come up with things like this. If you've done more good than you've done bad, God's going to let you in. Many of you know our story that goes beyond Mallory. Just a few months before that, I lost my mom and my dad. People in my dad's family told me stuff like this. Oh, I know he's there because of the kindness that he showed to other people. If there was ever a good man that God ought to take to heaven, it was your dad. I heard that at his visitation. And I tried to be polite. I didn't want to hurt anybody. I was hurting enough. My dad and I had conversations about the Lord, and I believe everything about me. He settled it with the Lord, but that is between him and the Lord. He lived 87 years. I got almost 60. If the same God chases you the way he chases me, I think we have plenty of opportunities to get right with the Lord. But we play these skeptic games, and we feel like we got tomorrow. No. You know what I know about it? Good people. Good dogs might go to heaven. You listen to me. But good people don't. You know how I know I'm going to heaven? Because the blood's been applied. That's how I know. You know how I know Mallory's in heaven today? It's not because she was a wonderful child. It's because she had put her trust in Jesus Christ. We can say it 100 different ways, but what we're saying is the blood has been applied. And see, we live in a day and age where we have just totally wrapped all kind of stuff up in it. Good people go to heaven. No. Blood-bought people go to heaven. Amen? Amen. And so you wonder, well, what's camp about? Man, a camp, if you already know Christ, it's sharing yourself. It's sharing it up. It's the next level living. If you don't know Christ, then God has, in his sovereignty, has brought you to this place so that you would hear words like this, so that you could know his son and the blood could be applied to your account. But we live in a day and age. Think about it now. We live in a day and age in America. It's amazing. Everybody goes to heaven. Right? I mean, I've been at funerals. I can tell you stories, and I don't want to get far into this. I can tell you a story. A man face to face with me rejected Christ. Face to face. The family had asked me to go see him, and I went and see him, and he basically told me I don't want none of it. Totally rejected the opportunity. When he died, Brother David, when he died, I went to the funeral as a service to the family. They didn't ask me to do the funeral, thank the Lord. I heard a man put him in heaven. You would have thought he was the Apostle Paul. And what I knew, now could he from our conversation, you know, beg to a God and God love him that much? Sure he can. God's grace reaches to the uttermost and saves us, the guttermost and saves us to the uttermost. I'll get it in a minute. But listen to me. Don't change what God's word says. Brother Doug has established that for us every day in Bible study. Don't change what that word says. He that has the Son has life. But you know the verse doesn't stop there. You talk about that plowing deep and hurting people, Brother Doug. You said that today. We just want it easy. We want a bunch of big teeth and smiling and making us feel better. Well, I don't know if I want that. I'm glad I grew up, that I had it straight, and it was straight out of the Word of God. That verse does not end right there. It says that he that has the Son has life, and he that does not have the Son does not have life. I've come to tell you, Brother Jay, what's my hope? Our hope is the covering of the blood. That's it. And it points all the way from the time that Adam and Eve sinned. You remember? You remember when the first sacrifice was? The first blood that happened? You remember? God covered them. He covered them with the skin of an animal, which is just a type. It's a symbol of what's coming. That it was going to cost animals their lives because of their blood for an atonement until Jesus Christ came. The spotless Lamb of God came, and his body was broken, and the blood was spilled out for an atonement. And you cannot be right with God if you've not been under the blood. We've sung about it, but I understand it more clearly now than ever. So I've come to ask you. This is it. I told you, it's going to be education more than anything. But I'll tell you something. If your heart's beating, maybe there's a passage, and I've alluded to it a couple of times, and this is where God hangs out in my life. Jay, if you just live flippantly in your relationship, you live flippantly in your holiness, you live flippantly in your consecration to me, then the Word of God alludes to this, that you trample underfoot the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You look at that sacrifice and you devalue it to the point that it's something under your foot. And I can't tell you how many times God's brought me back to the cross, that you ought to live better than that. Then you're trampling under what the sacrifice that Jesus made. and the atonement that he provided when you live loosely and don't live like God wants you to live. So I've come today to educate you on the blood. And if you need to pray, you know, they said something very profound that I can end with today. Lord Jesus, let your blood be on us. Because that's the only thing that washes. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole? I like this now. We talk about camp meeting. What can make me whole again? How about that? That'll preach, won't it? What can make me whole again? So if today God's done it years ago and you're banking on that, and all of a sudden God's enlightened you that, man, you need some again. You need the blood applied. Give you that opportunity. We won't tarry long. It's time. But I just wanted, and I know it's of the Lord, because I had me a wonderful meeting this morning about it. God reminding me of how precious the blood is. So as Brian leads us, if you'd like to pray, maybe just thank the Lord. We haven't done much Thanksgiving here. Maybe you just want to thank God for the blood. You want to thank him publicly, give you opportunity. But if you need the blood, it's here for you today. All right, Brian?
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other found I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this I see. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this I plead, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow.
The blood of Jesus. A long time ago, God dealt with me that it's not about here, it's about here. Being obedient, we feel like we've done that. I trust that every one of you are under the blood. I trust that every one of us here, when God sees us, he sees red first. Amen? That's the only way that we're going to get there. And we're going to give an account, rewards, and all of that. But to make heaven our home, it's the blood of Christ. Let me pray for us, and Brother Wayne, it's yours. We thank you, Lord. I thank you for the blood that we're so unworthy. You love us so much that you did all of that. You set the table. You laid your life out, and the blood was spilled, and yet still you gave us a choice. That is so amazing. In this grace that you provided us the opportunity to make the decision. So God, I thank you for the blood. As I grew up hearing, I thank you that there was one drop that was shed just for me. God, I thank you for redemption. I thank you for the hope that we have. I thank you that whatever comes our way, that there's a shield and protection. God, because the blood has been applied. And I give you praise and glory publicly today. I trust everyone here is under the blood, and we celebrate that. It's not condemnation, but celebration in that. But if there be one, Lord, don't let them rest, because we know the very protection of us for all eternity is not what we've done and who we are, where we've been, right or wrong or indifferent. It's the blood. So God, help us always to live out that truth. We'll be careful to give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Wayne, thank you.
In agreement with that, let's say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, the children have already eaten. Okay, let me defend myself a little bit. Now, I am They eat early. Lunch is at 12:15. So it doesn't have to do with the time. They just eat early. And so there's already eating, and so I pray so that we can just go straight in, regardless of what time it is. Ask the churches that I've preached in front of. I don't care about time. All right, let's pray for lunch, and then we'll head up that way because the kids, yes, have already eaten. Father God, thank you so much for your blood and for your blood applied. Bless this food to our bodies and our bodies to your service to further your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.